Hello, everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle here and welcoming you to our monthly support call for Numerology Academy. And as usual, I want to stress this call is for everybody from beginners to advanced students to full-time practitioners. Any question goes on these calls and are welcome. We all are learning from each other, and it's always good to be reminded of all the basics as well. I actually love those calls because those questions because they just are a real reminder of what it is that we really need to focus on when we look at numbers in a very deep way. And so the basics, as my daughter knows, being a budding pianist, the basics, the scales, the arpeggios, you know, those are the things we do every day and review every day in our practice. So now I want any of you who have questions to press star 6. We have a lot of email questions I'm going to get to, but if you're on the call to ask me personally, you can get in line now. I know we're in that period of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere where there's a lot of spring break going on, so we might not have quite as many callers in March and April, but we are all here and listening to each other on the actual replays as well. So every question is important, and every question, as you know, really leads to some fabulous discussion. And today is going to be an important call for a couple reasons. I will be going through looking at transits and specifically looking at lunations, so full moon and new moon, because I made an actual comment on the Facebook page yesterday, and there were some questions as to how you find those lunations in a birth chart. So I'm going to review that with all of you today so you have it for the records. And I'm also going to start the day just by saying that there is a, or the call, I should say, there is a big event coming in April. I've talked about it in my forecast video for this month and in a couple of my newsletters, and that's the Cardinal Grand Cross. So we're also going to look at the actual degrees of the four planets involved in that grand square so you can find it in your chart. So we're going to do those two things first. And it's almost going to be like a little bit of homework that's fun for all of you to do because, you know, you want to know what's going on in terms of upcoming transits. It's important when there's a big event to understand where it takes place in your birth chart. Actually, interestingly enough, it is the 17th, and that's obviously a day of strength and power. And this morning here in L.A., we were jolted awake by an earthquake. And it was one of those really jolting earthquakes, not one of those that is more wavy. There are two kinds, and the ones that really jolt are the ones that are more aggravating, of course, to the senses. So it hit at 6:25 a.m., and my husband and I were, of course, you know, jolted awake. And I immediately said to him, this is Clara's first big earthquake. That's my daughter Clara. She's never, because we lived outside of California for many, many years. So she never has really experienced an earthquake of this size. So we immediately ran to her room and she said, Mom, I thought there was a robber in the house. You know, she was like totally, she wasn't really freaked out, but she was definitely like, you know, overstimulated for sure. So it was pretty funny. And she eventually did calm down and sleep a little more. But the reason I'm bringing up this earthquake is because the magnitude was 4.4. And it happened today on the 17th, which is an 8-day, and 4.4 obviously equals 8. And it happened at 6:25 a.m., which is 13, 6 plus 2 plus 5 equals 13, 4. So very interesting, sequence of numbers there. That is actually a formula, a 4 and 8 formula. And 4 and 8, as you know, are in the manifestation triad, which really governs physical reality. So it's no surprise in many, many ways to see a code like this activated. And it wasn't any damaging quake at all. 4.4 isn't a big quake, but it happened very close to our house, so we definitely felt it. And I also noticed that the date today, 3/17/2014, it actually adds up to 18. And in the number 18, in terms of actual current events, can signify dangers from the elements. So whether that is earthquakes or storms or volcanic activity, it does signify that as well. Now, that's for, that's not for people, of course, but that's for actual current forecasting, or looking at a particular date after an event happens and seeing that the number 18 was involved in some way. So that's just an interesting little story from us here. And yesterday, by the way, my daughter, who's very psychic, said to me, "Mom, I heard from Auntie Holly a while back that when it gets really hot, that's when the earthquakes strike." And she said that to me yesterday, and it was 90 degrees here where I live, which is so unusual for, you know, it's still winter, technically. So, and then she came out with that statement. I said, "Yeah, well, we'll see what happens." And then I went to bed last night, and we watched a movie, Clayton and I, part of a movie, and then I just quickly checked my emails, and I noticed there were a lot of notifications from the USGS, which is, I subscribe to them. I recommend, if you're interested in Earth events, that you do subscribe to USGS and get, you know, any news of earthquakes, and you can literally put down the magnitude that you want to be informed about. USGS is the United States Geological Survey, and I actually worked for them when I was in high school in Virginia. I worked for them for 2 summers. I was always interested in maps and anything to do with the Earth, and my brother is a geologist. So anyway, long story short, I looked at these email notifications last night, and several came in right before I went to bed, and then several more came in, I noticed in retrospect, after the earthquake we had, throughout the night from around the world. I think I got 7 notifications, and that's very unusual. That's definitely a, what would you call that, an actual magnification of a slew of earthquakes. So that was interesting to me to see as well. Okay, so let's go to transits now. And I would like all of you to just take down some notes now. So have a pen and paper in hand, because I'm just going to take you through what we need to do when we look at transits. And this is a very straightforward way to find them in your birth chart. So now, you need to have your astrology birth chart in front of you in order to do this. So take down the notes, and you can go to your chart after the call if you don't have it in front of you. So you need that Numerology Academy astro-numerology chart that I created for you when you first joined. And so what you want to do is you want to go to that astrology birth chart, the natal chart, that's, I believe, on page 4. And then you want to actually make photocopies or copies of that page. You should have this as a PDF, so making copies should be pretty easy. So if you make several copies, you can actually put in the lunations every month to find them. So then I want you to either take out your physical ephemeris. So if you don't have an ephemeris, you really should invest in an ephemeris, because it really makes it easy to leaf through and look ahead and look back at the months. So get out the ephemeris. If you don't have an ephemeris, the one that I recommend that actually has lunations on each of the month's sections is the one at cafeastrology.com/2014ephemeris.html. Let me say that again. That's cafeastrology.com/2014ephemeris.html. And if you go there or have your ephemeris in front of you, you will go to March, of course, because that's the month we're in right now. And you'll notice either in your ephemeris or on this page that there is a section called phases and eclipses. And that's where you want to go for the lunations. So let's just look at the full moon that just happened yesterday on the 16th. And you'll see there for March 16th, it says day, and you look down, there's the 1st, the 8th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. So those are the phases of the moon. It goes through new moon, quarter, half, three-quarter, and new moon again. So on the 16th of March at 1:09 p.m. Eastern Time, we had the full moon yesterday, and that's what I want you to notice, what it says next to that full moon. It says 26 degrees in Virgo. So now you need to know your symbols for all the 12 signs to know what sign this is in, right? So you need to know that sign right there, that symbol, it means Virgo. So I want all of you now to look in your birth chart and find that point in your birth chart, 26 degrees Virgo. And I want you to just draw a little moon there and write 26 degrees, and you can even put the date, 3/16/14. Okay, so draw a little moon. Now, for a full moon, here's what the important thing is. For a full moon, there are two houses, two parts of your chart that are affected. The first part is, of course, where the moon is. The other part is where the actual sun is. So, for example, for this full moon, what you have is the moon at 26 degrees Virgo, but opposite the moon at 26 degrees Pisces is the sun, and that's what creates the full moon, is when they're opposite each other, right? Because the sun is shining onto the moon, it's directly opposite it, and it's lighting up the moon, and that's what makes it look full. So with a full moon, you always also want to look directly opposite, so the opposition, the 180-degree opposition for the opposite sign. And the opposite sign to Virgo is Pisces, and so you also draw you can draw a sun symbol there in your birth chart and put down 26 degrees. You know, so that would be on March 16th, 2014. That would be the other house that was affected for you. Okay? So you want to always take note where the lunations take place, because the houses that they take place in and any important triggers to your chart that they make are to be noted at that point. So I want to go through now and look at a couple of upcoming events so we can actually get those noted in your birth chart. So again, you want to take out a photocopy of that chart or a copy of it, and we're going to move now to the 30th of March, which is when we have a new moon. So that's coming up in a couple weeks. And you see there it says 2:45 p.m. I'm on the website, the cafeastrology.com website here. It says 2:45 p.m. The ephemeris usually gives the GMT time. That means the Greenwich Mean Time, the Universal Time. So you just want to make sure you know what your ephemeris actually is referring to in terms of the time that's given. Is it Eastern time? Is it Universal time? And you have to translate that to your local time, right, so you know the exact time. In this case, we are on cafeastrology.com. It says 2:45 p.m., March 30th, new moon. And then we see to the right, it says 9 degrees in Aries. Okay? Now, anybody who knows about the Uranus-Pluto square knows where that takes place should now be triggered by the fact that this new moon takes place at 9 degrees Aries, because that is right where Uranus is and has been since 2011. It's right around that area of 9, 10, 11, 12 Aries, forming that square to Pluto in Capricorn, right? That's the big square we've been talking about since 2011 that continues through 2015. So this new moon coming up is very, very, very important, and I did actually mention it in my forecast video that was for March, because it literally triggers the real, real onset of the Cardinal Grand Cross, which involves Pluto and Uranus. Okay, so let me simplify this. Let's just go and find where is 9 degrees Aries in your birth chart. You want to find that location, and you want to mark in March 30th, 2014. You want to draw in that moon. You can say that it's a new moon. That means the sun and moon are exactly the same place. So you just have to draw the moon, and you can put NM for new moon, however you want to mark it. But you want to mark that in your chart and note what it triggers in your chart. Like, first of all, what house is it in? Is it in the first house? Is it in the fourth? Is it in the seventh? You know, what part of your life is it activating? You also want to pay attention to the number, of course. As I mentioned yesterday in my newsletter, we had a full moon at 26 degrees, right? And it happened on a date that added up to 8. 26 adds up to 8 for the degree number, and yesterday's date, full date, added up to 8 as well. So that was very empowering in many ways for us. This new moon coming up occurs at 9 degrees, and that's important because it literally is completing a cycle for the month. We are in a universal month of 10-1, and so that 9 degree trigger is like a new beginnings and endings shift for us. Not only that, like I said, it literally activates that square, that grand cardinal cross, right? That cardinal grand cross is a major, major, major event. And so being triggered at the end of this month means things are really, energy is going to ratchet up. And the dynamic energy is going to be huge. It's going to be very stimulating. There's going to be a lot of movement. It's like a thrust, just like an earthquake is like a thrust. I would expect there will be more earth events. There will be more political tension. Anytime there is any square, like Pluto-Uranus, as we've seen for the last few years, there is more tension. There's breakthroughs. It's actually very, very exciting energy if you want to move forward because it allows you to really make those adjustments that you've been sort of rebelling against or procrastinating on, you know, making. And it literally just says, look, you have no choice. You've got to make a decision here. So the energy for the cardinal grand cross is even greater because the cardinal signs are about action, and that's actually what they represent. They represent the four important corners of our birth chart, the first house, fourth house, seventh house, and tenth house. And so when a cardinal grand cross is triggered, you feel it even more. So let's look at, just for your homework, this is more homework for you to look at in your own chart, and of course you want to do this for your clients, where this cardinal grand cross takes place. And this is, by the way, just so you have a timeline, this happens between April 20th and the 24th, and really it comes to a head on April 22nd, which, by the way, coincidentally, is when our next Numerology Academy support call is on that actual day. So that should be fun. So and this is why I'm giving you the information now, because we're going to be in the thick of it during that call. You're going to want this info beforehand to use for your forecasting, okay? So the four points are, and write this down, we, of course, have Pluto and Uranus squaring each other. And so you will find Pluto at this point at 13 degrees in Capricorn. You'll find Uranus at this point at 13 degrees in Aries. And then the other two planets that actually trigger the grand square part of this are Jupiter, which expands everything it touches, and Mars, which vitalizes and stimulates and brings even, aggression to anything it touches. Now, fortunately, Mars is in retrograde. That does dampen its effect a little bit, which I'm really happy about, because what it can do in this case is not necessarily lead to a kind of warlike aggression in this kind of dynamic energy, but the possibility of really going to a point where you get to the bottom of the aggression and move through it and not actually get triggered to the point where something very huge happens that's later regretted. So we'll see how it all pans out. It really depends, obviously, on the choices that are made at that time. But the fact that Mars is involved is to be noted. It's actually important because Mars and Uranus are the two planets that really bring those unexpected events, and they're opposing each other. So let me tell you where Mars is. So Uranus is at 13 degrees Aries. Well, Mars is opposing Uranus at 13 degrees Libra. As you know, Mars has been in Libra for a while and continues to be in Libra altogether 7 months, which is hugely a long time for Mars. Mars is usually in a sign for 6 weeks, not 7 months. But because of this long retrograde, it's been a long process. So Mars is in 13 degrees Libra, so you want to find that point. And then the final point, of course, is Jupiter. Jupiter opposes Pluto, and it's at 13 degrees Cancer. And so as you can see, those four signs, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, and Aries, are the four cardinal signs. That makes this a cardinal grand cross. It happens at 13 degrees. Now, you all know how important that number is for breakthroughs. We can really expect some major, major movement here for us personally and for the world, for many, many things. So you want to know where these are taking place. Where is this in your chart? If it is in your angular charts, which are the first house, fourth house, 7th house and 8th house, 10th house. So 1, 4, 7, and 10 are the angular charts, which are governed by the cardinal signs. So if you have this cardinal grand cross in those houses, it's going to affect you even deeper because you are naturally, these are the natural homes for the cardinal signs. And so it basically means you personally, your home, your relationships, and your career are activated, right? The four big parts of our life, us in person, who we are, what we feel like, where we live, our home, our family, our relationships, intimate relationships, and our career. Those are the four angled houses right there. So go find those points in your chart and find them for your clients and make sure when you read for them that you just mention, even if you don't have future forecast formula, which is where I really go into detail about forecasting. And by the way, I do recommend you invest in that course, especially this year, because we're really ratcheting up now with this cardinal grand cross in understanding how forecasting works. It really, really has a big effect on your readings for your clients. So, but going back, so if you know those houses but you don't have future forecast formula, just pay attention to those houses. Just mention where this is taking place for your clients and that they want to pay extra attention to those parts of their lives, right? So when you cast their birth charts, find these points in their chart. And remember that the new moon on the 30th does trigger the Grand Cross, which is at that point literally forming, right? It is actually coming together at that point as Mars moves more and more retrograde. Okay, so that is a little bit of transit news, and I want any of you who have questions to press star 6 at this point, get in line if you have any questions about either your chart or these particular lunations that are happening. And if you have questions for next month's call regarding this one, meaning you're listening to a recording of it, please make sure you ask them because I do want to cover everything regarding, anything to do with helping you move forward. Okay, so let me go to some email questions before I get to your live questions. Let me go first to Rebecca, who asks a question about home addresses. She says, I've been asked which would be better, a home address that adds up to 9 or 10. Well, Rebecca, I do cover this in Numerology Academy in terms of actual compatibility. It really has to do with compatibility, right? So, for example, a 9 house would not really work for somebody who has a lot of their three important numbers in the 4, 7, 8 realms, because 4, 7, and 8 are in conflict with the 9. But a 9 house would work beautifully for somebody who has the numbers in the other sections, right? 1 and 2 and especially 3 and 6, even 5, and of course 9. So so really it depends on the client. It is definitely not just a general rule that certain houses are good for everybody, okay? So, and also you want to know that an 18 house, so if it adds up to 9, but the total number is 18, that is not recommended. So it would be a 27 house, a 36 house, a 9 house, so that the address would have to add up to one of those numbers. As for the 10 house, attend one. Of course, it's instant manifestation, so you do have to be just aware, is your client able to manifest something that is positive, or are they more glass half empty in their outlook? So that's something to just ask your client if you are offering that as an alternative, right? You need to just ask some of those important questions when you're on the phone with them. For a 10 house, definitely people who are in the 4 and 6 realms, it wouldn't work for them. Now, if they have the numbers 1 and 5 and 7, very strongly as well, then it could work. But if their numbers are 4 and 6 and, 3 and 9 or something like that, where they don't have no numbers in the 1, 5, 7 triad, which is related to the 10, because 10 reduces to 1, right, and 1 and 5 and 7 are in a triad, then I wouldn't recommend the 10 house. So again, as I said, it just depends on the actual client. Okay, so then we move to Marion. Now, Marion, by the way, welcome to Numerology Academy. You're a new member, and your question is, please explain how one can use numerology to see if you are an energetic match to a business or business name for financial prosperity, also geographically as well. Okay, that's a very good question. So, let's see. What I want to say, first of all, about fortunate names, I know you just signed up recently, so you probably have not received, you wouldn't have received Webinar 5 of Numerology Academy Level 1. That actually deals with fortunate names. So the whole thing about a business name that's an energetic match, the energetic match actually, it doesn't get matched to your numerology code, birth code. The only thing that matters is that it gets matched as a fortunate name or not. Now, there is an exception. It's the 4 and 8 exception, and you'll learn about that when you get to Webinar 5. Okay, so Lesson 5 covers all the rules with fortunate names, but the overall rule is if it's fortunate and it doesn't have the 4 and 8 effect, or born on the 15th and having an 8 name, there are certain rules you have to actually really follow closely for certain birthdays. So if those rules are all followed, then any fortunate business name actually is good, okay? So there's no matching to do. Now, you're asking about what you call astrocartology, astrocartography. That is a whole nother realm of astrology that, yes, I can do, but I haven't taught. So it's not something I'm going to cover in this call. What I do recommend in terms of the business name is that you just understand it does affect you. So when you choose it, make sure you check if you're using it as a website name. Make sure that if you are actually using it as a website name where it's a one name as opposed to two names or three names, that it is a good number. Because sometimes, I know this sounds odd, but there are occasions where you can have a very good business name and then you turn it into a website name or vice versa, and it actually is not a good name, right? So one of those examples would be if you have a business name that resonates to the number, let's say 336, but when you write it all out as a website name, where it's one name, it adds up to 516. And 51 is a number that isn't necessarily always going to be helpful because it has that warrior energy attached to it. So again, you want to really do your homework here and make sure you understand how to calculate names. And that's about it. So astrocartography, that actually, in terms of the business name, doesn't actually play a role, okay? So what plays a role in astrocartography is you personally, like where you want to live and what you can do if there is a certain point in your chart that crosses the area where you live that's not that favorable. What can you do about that, et cetera? But that's not something I cover in Numerology Academy, okay? All right, so let's move on to the next question. It's by Manon. And she says, Love all the work, the support and encouragement you've given us. After you reviewed my astronumerology chart in January 2012, there were many things you brought to light, one of which was meeting a man. Well, lo and behold, I did meet him, and we did fall in love, and we're getting married. Well, that is awesome. I'm really, really happy for you, Manon. I know you've been a long-time member and client, and this is just great news. So you want to know about names. So you're asking me about three names. One is your current name, which is a 15. And then if you just take your first name and your future husband's last name, it's a 17. And then if you use both your first and last name and your husband's last name, so it would be a three-name version, would be a 23. And your dilemma is all of those are fortunate. That's a great dilemma to have, okay? I'd rather be in your shoes than have, oh, my gosh, none of them work out. So here's the deal. First of all, you need to intuitively gauge which you resonate to. You have three choices here, the current one, which we created many, many years ago for you. Obviously, it's supported you, right? It's wonderful news. Now, when you add a husband's last name to your current last name, so you have a three-name version, basically, the concern that always comes up in my mind is that you may not pronounce both of those last names when you introduce yourself or when others introduce you. So I tend to encourage my clients to pick a name that's just a first name and a last name and not to include a middle initial or a middle name unless they really, really like Sarah Jessica Parker or Michael J. Fox, go by that name, and everybody knows them by that name, and they use that name when they're introduced, blah, blah, blah. But if you think that for any reason somebody may leave out that middle name, what you're doing is unleashing two frequencies, and that's always a problem because then you're dissipating your energy and the energy of the fortunate names as well. So you never want that. So my suggestion is you just really intuit what would work best. Would that be the case? Could you actually pronounce all three names when you introduce yourself by your full name? Could you train others to do so? And if not, which of the two other alternatives would resonate with you most? The one you have now that's worked for you, obviously 15 is an amazing, amazing number of magic and alchemy. 17 would be the name you use if you take on your husband's name as your new last name. That's, again, about immortality, leaving a legacy behind. Both of them are fabulous. Which of those two do you feel most comfortable with, right? And is there, you know, does your husband play a role in your decision as well? You know, that's a personal decision for both of you. So that, you know, I'm sorry I can't help you more. When you have good news like this, sometimes, you know, you just have to go with your intuition on this one, okay? By the way, I did notice, since you put down his and your numbers, that the compatibility between you is wonderful. The reason I say that is I see each of you shares three numbers with each other. You each have a 7, you each have a 6, you each have an 8. That's wonderful compatibility. So that in itself is really fabulous. So congratulations, Manon. I love you. You know, wish you all the best. And I hope that answers your questions. I know you couldn't be on the call. Okay, so let's go to some phone questions on this exciting day and see what's up here. So, hello, this is Tanya.
Hi, did you?
Yes, you are live.
Hi, how are you, Tanya? How's everybody?
You're live.
Hi.
How are you?
Jacqueline, how are you?
I'm good.
Wonderful. You answered my question that I had about business, telephone numbers. I really appreciate you doing that for me.
You're welcome.
That was really wonderful because that was helping me help a client. I really appreciate that. Then it also helped me too because I was.
I'm sure.
What
helps our clients helps us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ultimately,
so,
yes.
Yes. And also, I just got on. My computer was d- doing its thing, and so I just got on this morning. So I wrote you an email to let you know that you were talking about transits, and that's really what I wanted you to talk about. I was glad you did, so that worked out well. Now, on the Cafe Astrology,
mm-hmm.
you said to go to that site. So by the time I had gotten to the site, you had already started talking, and so I really wanted to know where you were getting how to read the, I think you were doing March 2014 first, and I wanted to find out how we look to see the full and new moon. I know that we're actually looking when we are seeing the new moon and full moon, we have to look at the sun and moon to see if they're opposing or if they're conjunct.
That's with the full moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, full moon is always involving two light bodies, the sun and moon opposing each other. New moon, you just look one location in your chart because they're both conjunct. They're in the same place in the sky, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So if we could look at, because I'm on the site, cafeastrology.com, I'm looking at March.
Yeah, you have to do /...
/2014, ephemeris.html. I'm on that site.
Yeah,
so I have the ephemeris
down.
For March 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at today's date, which is the 17th.
You don't have to look at today's date. Actually, go all the way through that month, and you'll see a next section. It says
mm-hmm.
planetary data, lunar ingresses and void moons. Then go all the way to the right. It says phases and eclipses.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it lists 5 days in March, because March had a new moon on March 1st. And a new moon on the 30th. It's one of those rare months. We had one in January as well. January 1st started the same way, new moon. And this month
did.
Is the same thing.
It
yeah,
really
so
did.
We have three,
right.
you know, the blue moon basically is what they call the third one. So we have the 1st, 16th, and 30th, we have a lunar event. And you can see the moon is all black for the 1st and all black for the 30th. That means it's new because, you know, you can't see the moon in this
right.
black. And in the middle, on the 16th, we have what looks like just a white circle,
mm-hmm.
and that's the full moon we just had yesterday. And that's when you see that white circle there, the circle that's inside white, that is where you need to look in two areas of your chart, the opposite area of what's listed and, of course, the area that's listed, which is 26 degrees Libra. And then you, 26
Virgo.
Degrees Virgo, I should
and
say.
And 26 degrees of Pisces.
Pisces, yeah.
Now,
you
where it says
both.
The 1:09 p.m., that's going to be Greenwich Mean Time, so we have to change
no,
it
No, actually, for my ephemeris, it's Greenwich Mean Time, but for this one, it is Eastern Time.
Oh, okay, great. So then I just take off an hour for my time.
Yeah, because it says EDT at the top of
okay.
March. You'll see March, it says EDT.
Okay.
That means it's Eastern Daylight Time.
Oh, great.
So, for those of you who live in Europe or Australia or anywhere else in the world and you don't want to deal with Eastern Time, you can go find an ephemeris online that has phases and eclipses where it's Universal Time. And that's actually, I prefer Universal Time myself. I would suggest to Jacqueline that you purchase an ephemeris because it's really, really nice to have actually in front of you and to mark it up,
I have
you know, with
ephemeris.
A highlighter.
I
yeah.
do. I have an ephemeris. As a matter of fact, it's I wanted to see the Cafe Astrology. I wanted to look, but I have an ephemeris. It's right here. But I was just looking to see the Cafe Astrology where you were getting that time and all of that. So that's I see.
Okay,
it.
Good. So
uh-huh.
you can double check it with your ephemeris, and your ephemeris should have that phases and eclipses section for each month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah, I have. I actually have the New American Ephemeris.
Yeah, that's a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
that's
what
the one I have, and it has that section.
Okay,
so,
great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're
Thank
welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, good. So let's go to the next caller. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hi, Rayora. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm getting back to the compatibility issue.
Okay.
My question is, when looking at compatibility, do the three key numbers of one person trigger things in the astro chart of the other?
Ooh. Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, that's very interesting. Three key important numerology numbers in person A would trigger something in person B's actual astrology chart, you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Okay. And you're talking about when you say trigger, are you saying that there actually is a conflict that's created with those numbers?
No, what I'm saying is if the say you have a match,
mm-hmm.
I can use my husband and I as an example here because his birth date is 26 and I have four cusps that are 26.
I see what you mean. Okay, if we're literally you create a recognition of a repeated number, whether it's a single digit or
right.
a double digit. Right. Yes, absolutely. That's why I asked, because when there's a conflict created, I would say no. But if there is a magnification, which is what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, where a number is literally magnified by virtue of being repeated like that, yes, it absolutely is like a recognition in the code. You see what I mean? So the numbers recognize each other across these modalities between one person and another. So basically you're blending the two modalities into one. You're seeing the code of one person as a whole being, really. And you're taking that frequency over to the next being, and you're seeing, oh, look, we have something in common, right? That's basically what you've done. And that
okay.
definitely is something to pay attention to, yes. And it's
okay,
exciting.
Now, if one person has, as I did before I changed it, I had a 26-8 current name.
Hmm.
So I have changed that now. So how does that change the dynamic?
You're talking, okay, what was the number of your name, first of all?
The number of my former, the one I
mm-hmm.
changed, was 26-8.
26-8, okay.
Yeah, which matched his day of birth.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
You know, this is a purely numerology question right now that you bring up between the attraction between these two numbers, which is a whole different topic than any other numbers, right? So by virtue of having that current name, you literally attracted each other because he had that 8, whether it was a 17-8, 8, or 26-8, whether it was a 4, 13, you know, 22, 31, you would have literally created that attraction between each other because of these two numbers. So that's a whole different part of numerology. Now, had you said, okay, my name was a 20, whatever, what's another challenging number? Let's say 18-9. It's not in the 4 and 8 sector. So 18-9, and he has 18s, and he's born on the 18th. Even then, I would say, look, fortunate names are created by us after birth, usually when we're older adults. So they actually don't have a bearing on how they relate to our birth charts. It's really the numbers at birth, like you brought up earlier with your earlier example, that
okay.
matter. Yeah.
All right. All righty. Yeah, we definitely
yeah.
had that attraction with the numerical aspects going because his life purpose matches my day of birth. So it's just
wow.
any way we were a match numerically.
Oh, my gosh, that just gave me chills when you said that. That's really, really powerful. That really is powerful, yeah, when I see that. Yeah, and you know you can see that within families, too, you know, children or parents.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's a whole nother area of numerology that's so fascinating is the numerology DNA. You know, so.
But what you are saying then is now that I've changed my current name away from the 26-8, his day of birth won't keep triggering that number for me in a negative way. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Or
right.
karmic way or predestined,
yes.
you know,
yes.
way. Yes, yes.
But
exactly.
yet it will still keep playing with the house cusp numbers of mine to strengthen them.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
That's a magnification, a strengthening, as opposed to this karmic effect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep. Great.
All
well,
right.
Thanks
well,
for that great
that
question.
Takes care of that, then. That's all I have for today.
Well, as usual, very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Tanya.
You're welcome, Rayara. Okay. Let's move to the next caller. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Sounds like Jen.
Yes, it's Jen. How are you, Tanya?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. I'm great. Fascinating always to hear about the numbers. I was just listening. So when you're saying if we have our current name, like mine is a 17-8.
Mm-hmm.
So is there something that I should watch out for? Because it's my only 8, but I do have a 4 in my numbers. I mean, as far as a partner.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm confused. You have a 4 in your numbers, but then you mentioned your partner. So,
yeah, I'm saying in my future, the partner that's going to come in, should I be aware of something to do with 4s and 8s or, you know?
Okay, let me just pull up your chart because I just want to check something here. So you are born on the 7th and you have a 33-6 life purpose number. You do not have a 4 or 8 in your birthday. You have a 4 as a destiny number, which is your
That's
birth
right.
certificate
oh, yeah.
name.
Not in my birth.
So it actually the rules taught in Webinar 5, Numerology Academy Level 1, do not apply to you in terms of 4s and 8s because they only govern the birthday. They do not govern the destiny number, right?
Mm.
So you don't have – there's nothing really for you to be concerned about concerning your own life.
Okay.
Now, you have a 17-8 name. Yes, just like Royora just said, let's say your future boyfriend has a birthday on the 4th or 8th or 17th, et cetera, or has a life purpose number that reduces to 4 or 8. You automatically would be attracted to him and he to you. And it's not necessarily a negative thing, okay, because for you – see, Royora actually had a challenging name. You don't. So 17-8 for you is perfectly fine because you don't have 4s and 8s in your birthday. For Royora, it would have triggered some karmic things just because of the name. The actual number wasn't a good one, see? So for you, it would just indicate an attraction.
Okay. I don't have to worry about that. Okay.
No.
Good.
No. I know
good.
It's confusing and all of that, but
yeah,
for you, don't worry about it. Yeah. It would just indicate, okay, got it. He has one of those numbers. I see why we were attracted.
Yeah.
So, now, in terms of, let me just mention, though, for him, it may trigger something, though.
Oh.
You see, because he would have attracted something that he needs to work through, right?
Mm.
So if he has a 4 or 8 in his birthday, either day of birth or life purpose number, and he attracts you with a name of 17-8, I've seen this time again in celebrities that I cover in Numerology Academy, there is an attractor factor there.
Mm.
And it would affect the person who has those 4s and 8s in the birthday, right? Not the person who has the fortunate name. And it has to, when I say not the person who has the fortunate name, it has to be fortunate. 17-8 is fortunate, right? So, yeah.
Okay. So when you say it affects them, it doesn't necessarily mean a negative effect.
No, it doesn't have to be negative. It just means that there's a feeling in them that it's predestined and there's something they are working through with you, you know. So the for them, it's no, it wouldn't necessarily be negative. It just indicates, like I said with Rora, there's a certain code, DNA code with families that you know, you can observe. And so this would be playing into that. You know, it's like a spiritual DNA code, right? So,
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. All right, good. All right, so I got that sorted. So I guess I shouldn't be calling in an 8, a person who has 8 in their numbers then.
You shouldn't be calling in?
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe I shouldn't be. It just feels like it's a good number. But
I wouldn't worry about it at all, really, because I wouldn't actually put the energy of worry into that because, you know, sometimes, here's the funny thing about the universe, sometimes the universe creates these codes for us so that we do attract the right people. So you never know.
So
I wouldn't put it out there not to attract an 8. I would put out there what you don't want to attract. I actually would never even say that. I wouldn't say what I don't want to attract anyway because then you're drawing it to you. I would just put out there what you want to attract. And leave it at that, but don't put in the "I don't want an 8" type thing.
I wouldn't do the negative, but I was just, you know, for me, 8 is a very has a lot of interest, right? So it's an attractive number to me. So my daughter has an 8, I think, in somewhere in her numbers. Actually, So that's interesting now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So my question is beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fascinating how all these numbers tie into one another. I want to know more, a little bit more about the Grand Cross and where I am. I don't have my chart in front of me. And I just think is it interesting? Is it happening on the 22nd? You said the 21st, but it's the 22nd? Cause
yeah,
that,
you know.
Wouldn't that be interesting on the 22nd, since that's the double four, the four with the piece?
I know,
piece,
isn't so. It? I know.
Yeah.
That's a whole other part of it that I will cover. The 22nd is a master number day. It is, you know, when I do my calculations, I find, well, when is the grand square? It involves four planets, right? So there's not going to be an exact time where all of them are at 1354 degrees or something. That just would be very rare.
Okay.
But the exact time that they're at 13 degrees and the closest amount of seconds to each other is something you can calculate. And that happens on the 22nd. But the whole period is the 20th through the 24th. 22nd is like the high point. It doesn't mean you wouldn't feel it way before then, though, because it's so powerful. Now, 22nd, yes, is important. It is, you know, we're also going to be in a 2 months. Remember that. It's going to be 11. It's
yeah,
day 11. Now, I'm going to cover all of that. This is very, very important to tie these twos together. But also, you know, there's the aspect of, well, how does that relate to the compatibility of our year, too, you know?
Mm.
So, for example, the 7 and the 2 are in conflict. We're in a 7 year, and so April is a 2 month. It's 11-2. And, you know, that in itself creates some tension, right? Right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keeping that in mind, too. Whereas March, we're in a 1 month right now, and March is in harmony with the 7, right?
Mm.
So all these little things are part of a code that you can spiral with as you sit down and write the numbers down. And but you want to know for you where it actually takes place? Is that your question? Okay.
Yes.
So let's see here. For you, you have Taurus rising, and that means Aries rules your 12th house, and this happens literally right at the beginning of your 12th house, so that's where Uranus will be, and then Jupiter will be in your 3rd house, and Mars will be in your 6th house, right at the beginning of your 6th, and then Pluto will be right in the beginning of your 8th house. So those are the houses, 12th, 3rd, 6th. Sorry, did I say 8th? I meant 9th. 12th, 3rd, 6th, and 9th houses are the four houses for you. Those are the cadent houses. That means they're at the end. So when it's cadent houses like that, you can experience a little bit of things coming to an ending, culminating in some way. It won't be quite as dramatic in many ways than somebody who has them, like I said, in the 1st, 4th, 7th, and 10th. Now, here's the thing, though. If you have planets triggered in those houses, which you do, if you go look at your houses, you can see you do have one of those houses, which is the 3rd. You do have Uranus in there. So now it's not any. It's pretty far away from this Grand Cross, but it is in Cancer for you, and that's important. So there will be some activity for you regarding communication, anything that governs, you know, the 3rd house. So language you use, writing, speaking, communicating with others. Siblings too, because this house governs your brothers and sisters. It governs your early environment. So if there's any memories that come up from your, you know, your childhood, it governs short trips. It governs neighbors. So keep out for that, and then just briefly review what the other houses stand for as well. You know, So okay. I don't know if you're planning on traveling next month.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be on a trip right at that time.
Okay, yeah, because the ninth house is also long distance and the third house is more shorter trip. Both of those houses are triggered for you, so I wouldn't be surprised if you were traveling. And so just, are you traveling during the actual Cardinal Grand Cross?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going on the 19th and we'll come back on the 23rd and I'll be in Portland. And I'm actually doing like a workshop, a little workshop. So.
Okay. We'll be very intense. Anything around that time will be intense and breakthrough. So if it's meant to be that, it will be.
That's interesting.
Be aware, just in general, if you live near an earthquake zone, just note, I know Portland is on the West Coast, and I'm obviously on the West Coast, so I'm not saying there could be something, but, you know, just maybe have water on you, you know, have, like, basic. You're traveling, so, you know.
That's
I don't want, it's not, I don't, I never want to scare people when I say these things, but I just, as somebody who does forecasting, you know, when I see something like this, it does trigger certain earth movements as well. It's not just us. And so we just want to be aware of that. And especially around the phases of the moon. Now remember, and you may not know this, but if you look at that ephemeris that I just told you about online or in your ephemeris at home, there are two eclipses that frame this event. I haven't even talked about that. I mentioned it briefly on my forecast video, but there's an eclipse right before and an eclipse right after. And that's what really, when there are eclipses, as you know, it intensifies the energy even more. And eclipses, you know, moon phases can have an effect on world events, whether it's political or whatever. So since you're traveling, just be aware of that. You know, I don't want you not to go at all. You know, I mean, if you're traveling, fine, but just be aware of that. So, yeah, do you have water with you?
Yeah.
Like, take water to the hotel room, you know.
Yeah, I'm staying with a friend, actually. So
okay, good. All right.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm, you know, ending my ninth year at the end of April, beginning my first year.
Oh, my gosh. How amazing is that? So it's happening in your cadent houses, houses of endings. Yeah, so you know, you may, now here's the other thing. I have mentioned this in calls before, but I will remind all of you. When you're in the last 6 weeks before your birthday, the energy intensifies anyway because that's when the sun is literally going through your ninth house, right, before it crosses your ascendant. So it always means if you haven't addressed issues during that solar year, you will address them during those 6 weeks, which means they are intense. So for you to also have this big event happens in your cadent houses means, and you're ending a nine-year cycle means just be aware you're going to experience some breakthroughs, you know, in order to set you up for the next 9 years, basically. Yeah. And it doesn't, breakthroughs don't mean breakdowns at all. They could be extremely positive. Yeah. But they do involve you being engaged, fully engaged, and not recoiling from the experience.
Welcome the breakthroughs. It's good.
Good.
I need them.
I know. You're born on the 7th. You like this stuff, so go for it. Hey, we're in a 7th year. You're born on the 7th. This is a big year for you. You know, it's any way you slice it, it's a big year.
Oh, it's exciting. I love it.
Yeah, it is exciting. Great. Okay, does that answer your question then?
Yes, thank you so much. It was very insightful.
Okay, great.
To use a 7 word.
Pardon me?
I say to use a 7 word.
Yes. Insightful. Yes, absolutely. Good. Well, have a good trip. I don't know if you'll be on the call since you'll be traveling, but it'll be in the thick of the event.
I'm going to try.
Okay. All right, Jen. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to one more caller here. Hello.
Hi, Tanya. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you? Are you back in Florida?
Yes.
I know you did your little cruise.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was nice.
Good.
Yeah, but we're back. And Mercury retrograde was fine for us. I was quite happy.
Good.
Very flexible. But, but I was going to, that was one of the things that I was going to mention, because I noticed that there was a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse before and after. But the lunar eclipse is on the 15th at 25 degrees Libra, which also goes, you know, that's almost conjunct the Mars at 13, right?
I know. Very good. You made a huge discovery there.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's going to emotionalize the coming together. See, the coming together of the planets is where it's more intense than the dissipation of energy afterwards is not quite as intense. As these planets come together, which is exactly when that full moon is happening, literally, right, the 15th,
mm-hmm.
And it's happening at 25 degrees, which is that number 7 again. You know, yeah, that's a big deal, and that's important to note. I'm glad the sleuth in you got involved. Good.
Well, I was looking, and also I know this is from Future Forecast Formula, but the cardinal grand cross is at 13 degrees, which is a critical degree, right?
It is, yes, yes, it is.
So that makes it even more intense.
Yeah, let me. I will address that tomorrow, actually, in the call. So if you can just bring up that factor,
okay.
Because you know critical degrees do matter, and I don't cover that, as you know, in Numerology Academy. But
right.
Yeah, the cardinal signs, yes, very very good point. So yes, the intensification is huge. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm getting this. It's starting to sink in. Last month, I also asked about the capstones and cornerstones. I can't remember which question you were going to think about. Did you? You said you wrote it down. Did you have a chance to look at that?
You're talking about. I think I was trying to remember the other name. Is that what it was?
For the middle name, but then also I think there was one question about whether there was had you noticed a difference between if the. The initial, the cornerstone was either a capital or a vowel. But, yeah, you said that you were going to look up the middle letter, actually. Yeah.
Yes, and you know what? I did not write that down as a reminder. Okay, so in terms of the importance of the letter, that was one of the questions?
Right.
Yeah. The first letter, because it usually, it is the only letter that we would use when we do our initials. You know,
right.
When we put down our initials, the first letter really is very, very important.
So
that's the one. The last letter is important, but it's not what people internalize when they think about you. You know, they don't think about your last letter. They remember your initials more than anything else.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
those would be, yeah.
If it's a capital as opposed to a vowel for that first letter.
I see. Okay. Look, I personally think they're both very, very important. The vowel just makes the sound extremely deep because it's a vowel. It's like a singer uses vowels to ring out any sound. You can't use consonants to do that. So mm-hmm. when the vowel is first, you know, it does show a strength, a presence of the person. That would be an interesting thing to research, too, you know. But that's nevertheless, it depends also on the name. Like, you know, if you have a first name where A, for example, is the first vowel that follows the capital. Follows the consonant, which is the first letter. If A is the second letter, for example, that's a very prominent vowel to have. And you probably will find a lot of singers because the A literally does symbolize the diaphragm. In the way you write, when you write down an A, it looks like a diaphragm, a capital
mm-hmm.
A, that is. So a lot of singers would have A. And I'm thinking more opera now. I'm not necessarily thinking pop singers.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it applies to them too. But so that's something. Or they're able to speak really clearly, or they have a very interesting voice. You know, or they're just comfortable on the stage. Their voice carries. Now, if A happens to be the first letter of your name, your first name, even more so, it accentuates that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Do you think some people are attracted to certain resonance of of letters. For instance, I in my mind ramblings, I noticed that Brad Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston, so that's a J-A, but that now he's with Angelina Jolie, which is the opposite, and aren't those both ones? And then I just thought, oh, well, he was with Gwyneth Paltrow, too, and isn't GP both sevens? So that's in the 157 triad. Mm-hmm. And I think from one of the seminars, you said that he has a lot of mind numbers. So is that a natural attraction for some people to be attracted?
Yes,
to?
Actually, yes. And you can see that with other letters, too. People who have, you know, three letters, like Cs, you know, and Ls, will have that attraction as well. And it's not necessarily in people with those letters. For, like you just mentioned, if Brad Pitt has a lot of 157 numbers, then he would naturally be attracted in a code that features that number. And, of course, first letters, as you mentioned, are important. So mm-hmm. It's very interesting. See, this is where you're spiraling out and making that connection in the first letters as opposed to just the birthday or the birth name. You know,
mm-hmm.
You're literally looking at the first letters, and yes, I mean that's a great way. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow had sevens, as you said. His last name starts with a P.
Mm-hmm.
Paltrow Pitt. You know, that's a connection right there. You will find those connections also amongst people. You know, it's not just the numbers; it's also the letters. So yeah, that is definitely a very, very astute observation. So just keep following where you're going. And if it rings true, it really has a good feeling in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's how you know. And so you can, yeah, this is great. Definitely love what you're doing here.
Oh, cool. Well, it's exciting. Well, I thought it was interesting that he switched the letters J-A to A-J. And I just,
well, at least he's now in alphabetical order, AJ.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
Well, then also
that's
his first letter of his is an A, so he likes to be number one, huh? Maybe? I don't know.
The first letter of Brad,
his,
you mean?
It's the first vowel, sorry.
The first vowel, yes. People who have, like I said, if your first name... It's even more prominent in the first name because that's what you're called more often than anything is your first name. If you have an A going straight into that first name as your first vowel, yes, it makes you more of a leader, right? Because A is number one, it's first letter, it's about your voice. It really, of all the vowels, is the easiest one to pronounce. And it's the ones babies use when they say, ah, you know, when they cry. It's yeah, so it's like the ultimate instinctual vowel that we use. So yes, it targets everybody in that realm. And again, that's another really neat study. I mean, look at Angelina Jolie, you know, her name starts with A. So
mm-hmm.
And she's like probably the biggest female star who's ever lived. You know, so yeah, I think that study in itself is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just keep doing that research, you know.
Okay. Good. Thank you. I'll have the more questions for tomorrow. I'm actually going through and listening to the videos again for future forecasts. So I'll be ready
perfect.
For you tomorrow.
Yeah,
but thank you for answering my question.
Yeah, and if you, in terms of tomorrow's call, if you have anything that involves my looking at the webinar info, just shoot me an email beforehand so I can get that checked out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And we will now, I think that's it. If anybody else has a question, press *6 right now because we're going to get off the call. So, yeah, I know we covered a lot today. We did everything from transits to letters to names to business names, and every call is always unique. So anytime you have any question, please feel free to email me if you don't want to speak on the call or just get on the phone. It's just so exciting for all of us when there is this kind of participation. And keep in mind these lunations coming up, meaning the new moon on the 30th. and the full moon on the 15th. Look those up in the ephemeris. Find them in your astrology chart. Even if you're just doing Numerology Academy Level 1, I did send you your chart. So if you go to the ephemeris and you figure out what symbol is aligned with which sign, you should be able to find that point in your chart if you just print it out and put the number in. And it'll get you started on that conversation of numbers and astrology that is so fascinating in this journey. So, and watch out for my forecast video for April. I'm going to be covering a lot of this stuff extensively in that as well. So, all right. Well, have a fabulous spring and fall if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. And I will speak to you literally in the thick of things on April 22nd. So look forward to that. All right. Bye-bye for now.